Thank you, guys. Wonderful singing. And I'm honored to be able to speak tonight. That being said, I do promise to be brief. We have a lot to do. We have a lot of cake to eat, amen, and fellowship to do, right? And thank you for all you being here. I'm very thankful for our young people. I give them a hard time, but they're blessed. They're sincere. They ask a lot of Bible questions. It's an honor to have them in this church and to be able to teach them. Don't make me emotional. Stop it. But I have to warn all of you tonight that the young people know that I teach and preach to them a little differently than I do from the pulpit. So if I sound a little different tonight, you'll know they're used to me yelling at them and basically taking my jacket off and hanging over. I'm just kidding. But I do speak a little differently. So if I sound different, don't be alarmed. They're used to the trauma, and they're used to me yelling at them, okay? So, but even though this message is indeed for them, it's true of all of us tonight. And something that I do, all of you in this row especially, if you can, the Lord asking to open your heart. This is from my heart to you and from the Lord and His Word, all right? Unlike a lot of graduation ceremonies, this is not about the future. I mean, when you're a young person, everyone loves to talk about your future, don't they? Right? Where are you going to school? Why not? Where are we going here? When are you getting married? How many kids are you having when you have kids? When are your kids going to have kids? It never ends, just so you know. Everyone loves to talk about your future, right? What are you going to do for the next 50 years? I don't know. Do the next 5 minutes. I don't know what you want from me. Or people love to reminisce about your past. I mean, look at this right here. And don't you love it, by the way, when people say, you used to be so cute. Or my favorite, you used to be so sweet. What happened? So insulting, right? Yeah. And that's all understandable. But tonight I want you to reflect on just one thing, and all you young people in here, and all of us. No matter where you came from, no matter where you're going, I want you to remember that where you are is only because of the goodness of God in your life. Graduation should not be a reflection of your accomplishments, even though you have many. You do. It should not be an endless speech about the limitless potential of the future, or what Harrison Ford did recently, how bleak, the future is doomed and you inherit a terrible world. Go to your third house, Harrison, be quiet, right? It's not about that. Graduation should be a reminder where you say, I have arrived here only by the grace and the mercy of God. And by the way, young person, that's going to be true of every chapter of your life. Whether you have this same kind of service, but at your college, called a BMI degree, barely made it degree, or you're putting your tie on and your dress on, or you're getting ready to get married, or you're starting that new job, you just can't wait to get your life going, or you just lost that job that was your whole identity. Whatever chapter you have in your life, you are right here and right there only by the grace of God. And this sounds a little unloving, but my young people are used to it. I've told them in class, I frankly don't care what their vocation is going to be. I don't. They get hurt a lot. I hurt their feelings all the time. It's like, I don't care what your vocation is. I don't. I really don't. I don't how high they climb the academic ladder or the corporate ladder. I don't care how many kids you're going to have or how many marriages you're going to have. I'm kidding. I'm joking. Just kidding. But whatever it is, I'm interested, but it's not what matters. Because the true measure of success is your closeness and your likeness to Jesus Christ. If you choose to maintain your walk with the Lord, then all the other details that you fret and that you obsess and that you worry about, it's all going to take care of themselves, I promise you, if you choose to stay close to Him. So very quickly tonight, with the Lord helping me, I just want to share with you young people and all of us some little truths about the Christian life. These are secrets, and I'm going to sell them one day for $8.99. I'm going to write a book. So, but for the class of 26, you get it for free, okay? You get it for free. But these are some rapid-fire things I want to give at you. But just know that these are foundational to your life. These are things that were true when you were a little child. Your little adorable little Juno. They're true right now, and they will be true for the rest of your life and for all of us. And listen, this is not a fancy outline. I hate to disappoint you. There's no poetry. There's no prose. These are just precept upon precept, and I want you to write these down, or I want you to write them down in your heart and remember them. First truth I want to take with you, I want you to take with you, I want you to listen very closely, is that what you do with God will always be more important than what you do for God. And I'll say that again. What you do with God will always be more important than what you do for God. Look at verse 7 again. Will the Lord be pleased with 10,000 of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Verse 8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? I want you to remember this, young person. The Christian life is not about success. It's about showing up. That's it. It's about showing up. Faith is the foundation of everything you do, yes, but more importantly, it is the foundation of everything that you are. And what God wants to see in you is faith. I think we all need to be reminded as a church constantly that God actually doesn't need anything from you, and he doesn't need anything from me. He doesn't need us at all. Well, Brother Andy just said just right here what the Lord requires. It's because he doesn't need you. It's because he desires something from you. So he doesn't need you and he doesn't need me. Man, Andy, this graduation thing's really pumping my ego. You're welcome. If he doesn't need you and he doesn't need me, well, then what does he want? What he wants to see in you, young person, every day is just a daily demonstration that you actually trust him with your life. That's it. That's it. A daily demonstration. Well, what is that? Simply demonstrating faith by believing him, by trusting him, and leaning on him in your life. The Christian life is not about performance, it's about preference. So the question is, and I ask all of you and myself, do you prefer God? You might say, what does that even mean? It means every day you are training yourself to be one of two people, especially in this front row as you go out into the world now. Every day you are training yourself to be one of two people. You're either going to be someone who relies on the strength of your own flesh, or you're going to be a person who rests in the strength of their God and their loving Father. Do you lean and do you go to the Lord as your default? Because I'll tell you right now, most people don't. When something happens in your life and it doesn't make sense, the very first thing that people do is they panic. Ichabod! The Lord hath departed. Are you an anxious mess? Are you constantly fretting? Are you constantly worrying? When something doesn't go your way, or you don't know, when someone asks you, what's your future like? I don't know. Is your default, I must go to my Father. I have to go to God. I need to pray to him for this. Or do you do what most people do? You fret, you worry, you stress out. Maybe you call your friends. Maybe you call your family. Maybe you desperately look around and strive to find the answers around you. And you always come up empty. I'm telling you right now, you're training yourself to be that person right now. To choose God or choose the strength of your own flesh. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I want you to remember this. The next few months and years of your life, all of you, will not be defined by what school you do or you don't go to. It will not be defined what job you eventually get or who you marry or don't marry. It's going to be defined by what you do at the end of the day. It's going to be defined by what you do at the beginning of the day. It's going to be defined by what you do every single moment of the day. I don't care what classes you're taking. You want to know why? Because Mr. Andy is mean. It's true. But that's not why. It's because, you know what? One day those classes are going to end. One day you're going to get a job. One day you may lose that job. One day you'll say, what's a buyout mean? And oh, it means you're fired. What does it mean to be part of an outplacement? What does it mean when my boss said, we're going in a different direction? It means you're fired. Like, we're going through, we have new opportunities for you to pursue. Where? Out the door. You may get that job, you may lose that job, you may retire. You may have a family, you may lose that family. You will have loved ones and you will lose those loved ones. But young person, you will have one thing that you have had since the beginning. And in the beginning, it's just been you and God. You and Jesus Christ. This future life you're so enamored with is nothing without Him. And that is why you must abide in the vine. Young person, do you pray to God anytime during the day? He's like, man, Mr. Andy, I've heard this since, I know. And guess what? We all need to hear this. All of us. Do you pray to God during the day? Do you tell God that you love Him and that you're trusting Him with your life? Because most people don't. Are you recognizing that the only reason you've made it this far is because of His goodness and mercy? Are you developing a habit of spending time with Him, or are you too distracted with securing your own future? The Lord doesn't care if you say, well, Brother Andy, I'm doing this for Him. God is asking you, but what are you doing with me? You're not going to be defined, young person, for the next few years by your vocation or your location. You're going to be defined the next few years, all of you. You're either going to be a person who developed a walk with the Lord on your own, because it's not your mommy's faith, and it's not your daddy's faith, and it's not your pastor's faith. Not anymore. It's you. It's you and Him alone, and you will be defined as a man or a woman who decided on their own, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to dwell with God, I'm going to follow God, or you're just going to be like everyone else. And even a lot of people in church who strive and work and they stress and they're constantly at the end of their rope trying to figure out their life. What you do with God will be what your life is known by. You know, a lot of people knew David, King David, as King David on earth. What did people say of him? What did people sing of David? David has slain his 10,000s, right? He subdued kingdoms. He defeated enemies. He slayed a giant. He did great and incredible things, but all the people who used to sing those songs are gone. And what do our little children know David by? What do we know King David by? The same way God did. That when David was your age, he looked at a young man and said, here is someone after my own heart. That is how your life is going to be defined. Whatever you want to do with your life, young person, again, I'm going to sound mean, you can fill in the blank, but there's someone out there, no offense, same with me, there's someone out there who's going to do it better than you, more impressively than you, more efficiently than you, more famously than you, every single time. There is someone out there, many. But the one thing that they do not have, and the one thing that hardly anyone has, and the one thing that you can have, is to be known as a person who chose to humbly walk with the Lord and let Him define you. Which leads to the next super secret of the Christian life, okay? Very quickly. This one sounds a little different, but hear me out. Second thing I want you to remember and take with you, okay? See people as a window and not a mirror. That sounds weird, Mr. Andy. It is. I'll explain it, okay? But see people as a window and not a mirror. Okay, listen, we do not have time. I would love to go through all this in the book of Micah, but we don't have time. I could talk to you for hours, but I don't think that would be reciprocated back at me. I don't think you all want to, but I could talk to you for hours about this. But essentially, if you go through chapter 1 and all the way through this book, you will find some of the most scathing and graphic, frankly, judgments that God has ever given in all the Bible. And one of the primary reasons for this great condemnation is simply because of the sin of Judah, which was that of unmarked and unchecked and unimaginable narcissism and selfishness. People lived by their own selfish desires, and they would do anything to get them. They would commit unspeakable acts of cruelty and violence without giving it a second thought. Chapter 2 talks about how men would covet the fields of other men, and they would slay them, their wives, their children, entire generations, just so they could have just a little bit more real estate. And that's the mild version, by the way. I'm milding it up. And imagine while they're doing all of this, they pretend themselves to be virtuous people because they're offering sacrifices to the Lord, which is why God details what he actually requires in the text that we just read. The people mentioned in this book only ever looked at others as a means to their own ends. And I could go on this forever, and I won't, but here's the point. And I want you to listen to this very carefully, young person. And I say this with love. People don't exist in your life to fill a need. They're there to fulfill a purpose. This one truth could radically change every relationship, even the bad ones that you've had in your life. The truth is that people are never meant to complete you. People are not meant to answer the void that is in your heart. God leads all kinds of people into your story. Some are good. Some are bad. Some are loving. Some are unloving. Some are sincere and some are manipulative. Some bring pleasure and others great pain, but all of them serve a purpose in your life. And if you assign these people to the proper place that God has commanded, you will never allow the fear or the hurt of man to confuse, discourage, or destroy your heart. You see, the lie that you've been told is that somebody out there is the answer to the longing in your heart. That if you just find the right companion, or you find the right spouse, or if you find the right friend, or you find the right ideology or group of people, then you will have security and acceptance and peace. Every institution outside of these walls will tell you that the answer to your life resides in others. But nothing can be further from the truth. Very soon, for a lot of you, very soon, for most of you, really, your social circles are going to expand in ways you've never known, especially if you're homeschooled. You're going to be introduced and have access to more people than you could have ever dreamed. And some of you, that's very exciting, and some of our introverts here, that's very terrifying. And I understand that. I understand. But in the midst of all that excitement and newness and perhaps terror, part of your mind will say, yes, this is what I've been missing my whole life. This is what I needed. All I needed is this circle of friends, this group of people. And now I finally have this fulfillment in my heart. And by the way, the people that you meet will think the same thing as well. But over time, you'll discover that all the friends in the world and all the company in the world will never replace the unfailing and fervent love of God in your life. Because at some point, you're going to become disenchanted. At some point, that circle of friends will grow or change, and sometimes they'll fall away. Many times, a group of friends will hurt you, betray you, leave you, snitch you out to the teacher. And then you're left standing there, believing that your life is a lie and that everything is wrong, and that is because you chose to look at people like a mirror and not a window. When people only exist to satisfy your needs and your desires, they become a mirror. They only reflect the things that you want out of them. And even though you're looking at others, you're really only seeing yourself. You start to become selfish and self-involved. You analyze people for what they can do for you, and you start to become an exploitative person. And as I've told you before, and as we know, if everything is a means to an end and a stepping stone, for your own gratification, just like the people in this text, in the end, the only person you end up exploiting is yourself. That is why King Saul was a man who both loved David and wanted to kill him. Do you ever thought that was strange? That he seemed so bipolar? Like, well, Andy had a troubled spirit. It was worse than that. He loved David, but then also was trying to play pin the javelin on the donkey with him. Why? Because a part of him cherished and admired his son-in-law. But because David was not what he thought he was, and because David could not provide Saul with what he thought he needed, or perhaps that David was going to take away what Saul thought he needed, He wanted to end his life because Saul's life was forever about himself. Meanwhile, David had nothing to gain from continuing to be merciful and kind to Saul, and yet he was. And that's because David looked at people differently than Saul. David saw people as a window and not as a mirror. But what kind of window? A window in which you can pour God's love and blessings to others. Please listen to this young person. Please. I want you to hear me. Don't look for people to complete you. Look for people to channel you, to channel God's love through you. A window is a gateway. A window is an opportunity. A window recognizes it is a two-way street. And if you're the kind of person who only wants to see themselves reflected in others, then all you will be left with is yourself, and it's not good company. As we talked about this in my class, you also have to take an honest estimation toward people who constantly take from you. Because there's people in your life that can be disingenuous, and they take, and they take, and they take, and they never give anything in return. And you're an adult now. Doesn't seem like it. I understand. I didn't feel like that at 18. But it is your responsibility to trust God, to follow God, and ask Him to surround you with good and godly company that has your best interest at heart, and you have their best interest at heart in the Lord. But you're going to be spending your life, please listen to me, you're going to spend your life doing one of two things, all of you. Endlessly and desperately searching for somebody to complete you, and you're always going to feel empty. Or you're going to realize the biblical role people have in your life, and you will be at peace. There can never be true love if there's selfishness. There can never be sincerity if there's desperation. And God can never be seen in your life if the only thing is you in the mirror. Jesus' best friends, think about this for a minute. Jesus' best friends forsook him, betrayed him, swore against his name. But you notice it didn't stop the Lord from loving God or loving them. And that's because Jesus knew that people did not fill his needs, they fulfilled a purpose. And that purpose is the same as yours, to demonstrate the love, the patience, the grace, and everlasting mercy of God. Whether the characters in your life are good or bad, whether they're temporary or permanent, the purpose is to show the same love that you have received from the Lord. And you do it not because you love them, it's because you love Him, and that will give you the best relationships that you could ever imagine with everyone around you, because they're in their proper place. And then very quickly, finally, the last super secret, amazing, awesome, incredible truth I want to impart with you. And of all the ones I've said, I really want you to listen to this one. I've kind of browbeat you a little bit. This one I want to encourage. This one's actually encouraging, I promise you, okay? So, but I want you to listen to this very carefully, okay? God made you just as much as He saved you. You know, rightfully so, we magnify and glorify the Lord of the fact that we are saved. In fact, if we were not saved, why are we here? Frankly, why are we here? None of us should be here if it wasn't the fact that we were redeemed. We are bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Our name is in heaven. We have a home with God forever. Our sins are forgiven. The Lord is our Savior. God is our Father. All of that is done through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. There's one other component, though, that I really want all of you to remember, please. Especially as you here, and soon a lot of you over there, are going to go out to the world. It's not that God didn't just save you. He also made you, and He made you exactly the way that you are for a reason. Spiritually, we're commanded to grow, to be sanctified, to be conformed to the image of God's Son, and to be like Him every single day, absolutely. But I'm not talking about complacency of character. I'm talking about being confident and content in the way that He has crafted you. Because young person, as you go out there, you're going to find people, I'm going to be honest with you, you're going to imagine to be very impressive. you're going to make the estimation that there's people out there, oh, Brother Andy, you should see this play. There's people out there that they're smarter than you, they're faster than you, they're more capable than you, they're prettier than you. Not my problem, maybe yours, but they're not, definitely humbler, but better than you in every conceivable way, right? But listen to me, young person, the wider your eyes and you look around, the wider the net that you spread for discontentment. And discontentment leads to blame. And that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. Because remember this, and everyone here, please remember, that Satan doesn't just accuse you. He accuses God to you. He accuses that he wants you to believe that God made a mistake with you. Or that he left some kind of deficiency in your life, that you were a defect on the assembly line, whoops, or something was lacking that God failed to provide for you. And that is why I'm not talking about the worldly philosophy of self-esteem. I'm talking about the reality that God made you exactly the way that he intended. You are made exactly in his wisdom, exactly through his power, and exactly for his perfect will in your life. But when you go out there, you're going to be tempted. You're going to look around this big wide world and say, Brother Andy, it's not fair. They're smarter than I am. Things are so difficult for me and they're just so easy for those people. And they have all this money and I don't. And I have these struggles and they don't. And why do I have this and they have that and they don't have this and I don't have that? And you constantly become consumed with looking around you. Moses was given an opportunity of the Lord. Listen, I want you to go to Egypt. I want you to redeem my people. Thus saith the Lord. And then Moses goes, yeah, it's a timeout. Lord, number one, I don't speak none too good. Hooked on Phonics did not work for me. In fact. And number two, and he started to give excuses to God. And what was God's reasoning? What did he say to Moses? Who made you? Who made? That's right. This kid gets it. Do you remember the stick? Do you remember it said, throw down the stick. What happened? It turned into a snake. Pick it up. Pick up the snake. Pick up the snake. What happened? It turned into a stick again. Okay, well, how am I speaking out of you? A burning bush. Yes, hello. Is this thing on, Moses? Do you understand? I'm calling you to do this thing for me. Yeah, but God, I'm none too good. I Who made you, Moses? Who made the seeing of the blind? Have not I the Lord? You see, young person, Moses was too concerned with being obsessed with his own insufficiency instead of the sufficiency of God. I've said this like twice now. You're going to be one of two people. So what is that, six now? One, two, three, four. Yeah, so this is like six people now. But you're going to be one of two people. And I want you to remember this. You're going to spend your entire life looking around and saying, God, why are you so good to them? Or you're going to be someone who says, God, why are you so good to me? And there's people in this auditorium that if you talk to, they would tell you of people that they know that have wasted their entire life looking at the other side of the fence. Wasted. What could have been years of what be blissful joy and childlike faith and contentment and assurance and confidence and power in the fact that God made me and he called me and he will accomplish my and his will for my life. The Bible says being confident. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you, that is the moment he made you, the moment he saved you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is a promise. He began the work, he is going to finish it. So you, young person, be confident and content in the way that he made you. You say, why, Brother Andy? Because if God made you and God saved you, then he is the one who will complete you. He is the one who's going to cause you to grow. He is going to be the one who guides you. He's going to be the one to take care of you, not yourself. He's going to be the one who's going to flourish and increase his strength in your life and accomplish his will for you. I'll say this and I'll be done. All I'm asking for you, young people, it's all I'm asking, and all of us tonight, is to simply take God at his word. We tend to confuse and complicate things so much. Dad talked about that a few weeks ago, about the simplicity in Christ. But it's right here, clear as crystal, what God requires from us, and that is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. What you do with God, young person, class of 26, will always be more important than what you do for God. See people as windows and not mirrors. People are not opportunities for you to exploit. They are opportunities for you to express God's love and mercy. And as you leave here, and we'll miss you a lot, be grateful for the fact that God made you just as much as he saved you. Do you want to stand out at graduation to be something that hardly anybody is in any ceremony? Be someone who chooses God. And not someone who chooses him during the big moments like this, but during every moment of your life. Recognize that you got here by the goodness of God, but that goodness and mercy shall follow you, it's a promise, shall follow you all the days of your life if you just please, simply, stay close to him. I can say with sincerity, I love you all very much. I do. Your pastor loves you. Your family loves you. Well, maybe not your siblings, but your parents do. And this church loves you. But God loves you infinitely more. I wish you the very best. I do. The good news is I already know what that is, and so do you. The very best is simply choosing to stay close to Jesus. Be content in the way he made you. You don't have to be like anyone else, because you're you. And trust him to lead you. Love people like he would, and you will find that your life will be far more than you ever expected for yourself. And that is true of all of us tonight. And may all God's people say, amen. With our bows and eyes closed, no one looking around tonight, I ask, as these people go out, and we will miss them dearly, be reminded that we as a church are meant to pray for them and to support them, and that the world is filled with wonder and opportunities, but it is also filled with confusion and discouragement, loneliness, and challenges. It's the way the world is. But we also know the scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And as a church, we need to support and love these young people and be there for them. And to the young people of this class, we've had an amazing few years together, and it won't be over. But I pray to the Lord that this is not the end of your journey here, but it's just the beginning. For head bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around tonight, just say, Brother Andy, the Lord has spoken to my heart on something, and as a testimony to the Lord, you just raise your hand with mine. God bless you, many of you. Pray for these young people. Pray for these graduates. I don't want to take for granted in a service here, sometimes visiting, sometimes not always darkening the doors of a church, but the only reason these young people have any hope at all is because of the salvation they have received in Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Andy, I don't know if I've ever accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. As a testimony, I won't call you out and embarrass you, but just put your hands so I can pray for you. Amen. God bless you. We're going to pray in a moment, have a time of invitation, but I encourage you to do business with the Lord. Just tell him that you trust him, that you love him. Dedicate yourself, not just tonight, but every day, to be as faithful to God as he's been so faithful to you. And he will not disappoint. And he will never leave you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the privilege and the gift that we have, even young people in this church. And we know that Satan desires them, that he may sift them as wheat. But we know, again, greater is he that is in them than he is in the world. We ask, Lord, that as they go out, they take God with them. They know that that you have sent your comforter unto them, and they can feel the strength and the presence of the Holy Spirit every day. And that this marks the beginning of the greatest growth that they have ever known. Help them to reach new heights that they have never thought before possible because you are faithful. Help them to be content, to be excited, and to trust in you. And may that be true of all of us tonight. Bless this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.